changes your whole dietary stuff, all your all the things inside. So I mean, that might be something you want to check out too.
I know that that isn't like your realm, but I want to get your thoughts on this as well too. And that's why I hit record. Because we'll end up being talking for like 25 minutes in, then I'll be like, oh, gotta record.
Naturally.
But like, yeah, I never really got into this. Like, I always, because I had a buddy I used to work out with. We used to work out like 2 o'clock in the morning all the time. And he went specifically vegan because of health reasons. And he got his health reasons fixed because he was having a digestive issue. He was on my podcast a while back. I used to poke jokes at him vegan, mostly because there was a hashtag vegan cat of people feeding their cats vegan food. And the cat can't survive off a vegan diet. They end up dying really young. And it's weird because when I heard Travis Barker, I knew the plane crash. I've heard the documentary behind it, but he talks about how he was vegan and then he to have his body heal after all those severe burns, he was eating beef jerky like crazy in the hospital to help kick his body into some type of overdrive. And you start to realize, like for me, I haven't had meat in a very long time. And when I did, it always messed with my stomach. Maybe it's now the opposite, where if I have a meat, it might actually help with some of my digestive issues, which I've started to notice a little bit, but I got to do a full run experiment on it before I say for certain. But I mean, I get both sides of being vegan and not. I'm not above anybody or against anybody for choosing what side they want. But I think, man, there needs to be like a thoroughbred test, because you see people that go to the extremes on it where they condemn you if you do eat meat, or they condemn you if you're vegan. And I necessarily don't think that like everyone's the exact same. So why would you try, like laws, for instance? Why do we have fucking laws? I get it, because we all agree on these rules that we can't do to be a bad person of society, but each law is different in varying justifications or types of punishments depending on the severity of the law. But they're just guidelines that we all agree to. We all just agree, don't break the law. But they're just rules that template a whole country or countries, where you start to be like, damn, no, what? I'm surprised there isn't more people doing crazy shit. Like, the fact that we're, I mean, as much as the cases that do happen, there could be a hell of a lot more.
And at that point, it comes down, okay, who's enforcing these laws? Like, do even the people who are supposed to be enforcing them agree with the laws that are being passed, or are they going to look at things leniently? So then you have those who are trying to dispense with justice or law, kind of interpreting their different way or however the community feels about that. So then, you know, you have the supreme law, and then or you have the law that's supposed to be good for everyone, and then you have the enforcers kind of picking and choosing when to enforce it or not, which gives things a weird flow.
I mentioned a Joe Rogan podcast before on this show about he made a book called Seed Business or something like that, Seed Industry. I don't know if you could probably look it up because you're the Googler. I did it a couple times on this show, but it gets tasking trying to find results for this thing. But he talked about the Coca-Cola industry and how all these corporations are literally buying off like certain parts of the system, where his name is Barto Elmore. If you look up that guy's name, Barto Elmore, he talked about Monsanto's, one of those giant crop, one of the people that are responsible for Agent Orange. One of the effects that is still going on today, where that is still lingering around, how they're able to just slip through the systems when it comes to just paying off people to look the other way on certain scenarios that happen. I mean, that's the aspect of Benchwarmers 2. The second one was about people doing things and being able to cheat the system to rip apart a part of this town that meant a lot of the community, because a lot of the people in the community didn't know it was happening, like Epstein doing backdoor deals and things of that sort, that helped him get off in a way. But at the same time, it was such a big event that they just could not let that slide through like that. And this guy was exposing Monsanto. So if you look up like the crimes in Monsanto, of like the drug corporation company or whatever they were doing, they're in line with Agent Orange that people are doing with health effects today. Why did it take so long for 9/11 first responders to be able to get the free benefits that they needed, considering that they were in such a drastic scenario where they were still dealing with health issues? I think it's, who is it? John Stewart was the one that helped those people in that court case finally get the benefits that they needed, like almost 10 years later. And you start to really look on a grand aspect of like, is it that unbelievable to think that there isn't a way to just pay the system so much money where you can get whatever you want across?
Depends on what the, who the system supports. So getting back to Agent Orange, and this is why the one of the big things that I do not agree with whatever is using chemicals for anything, even for your front lawn. Don't exactly agree with it. DDT or anything like that. And that's because the system backs it up, but it has the long-term effects of it are so devastating to those communities that they're still feeling them today. Like people in Vietnam are still being born with birth defects and everything. And the major factor is DDT that's lingering in those villages or in their soil, in their trees, in their water. So at that point, it's like, all right, well, the government should take up responsibility for that corporation because the government sponsored that corporation, knew the results, and ended up doing it anyways. There are vets today still who have major health concerns over their health based off Agent Orange in the way that was improperly used and its development.
What was sales pitch wrong when Agent Orange was like first like being used? It was an aspect of being able to keep people from hiding away from us to make it easier for us to be able to find our enemies. But they used to keep these things at storage camps that people would guard, and people would stand 24 or 12 hour shifts or whatever, standing in front of these giant tubs of this stuff that could have been leaking out of these canisters. That people are, I've heard accounts of people that suffer from Agent Orange that talk about, like, I used to watch this stuff, like it would be 6 days of the week, and then I had my day off or whatever, I got to do what I wanted. But on those 6 days, I would stand in front of this tent, guard these canisters or whatever warehouse that they were in front of, and you just, that has to affect you. And that's what they start experiencing with this guy person. That's where I thought I got it from. I never went to combat, I never had to walk through that type of stuff, but it was just weird how they said it, like you could easily like go through it and it wouldn't affect you. Of course it's going to affect you. Oh no, it's right. Only going to affect our enemies. No, it's not. Like that mindset thinking, and I think I would have been someone that would have believed that. But it's like, what are they willing to lie? I mean, the sugar industry has literally fucked every single person in the food industry or in the FDA realm, even people like us, on an aspect of, they used to pay doctors $5,000 to $50,000 just to lie on certain tests saying that sugar was not bad for you, and we know that it is.
Right. So then once you know what it is, you know, it's, once you know that it's wrong, you have to, one, correct it, and you have to inform the public so that way the public can make an informed decision. But then you have these long-term health effects. It's like, all right, who pays for this? Like, it should be the company. The company knew what it was doing was wrong. It should be paying for the damages that are caused.
Yeah, but it's hard to get a company to, even if $2.3 right. $2.3 billion is nothing to them, they don't really care, because, you know, the way they make their money back is just by squeezing the people that work for them and make them work even right. harder to make the money back. But when Agent Orange, when I heard Bartow explain this, he was talking about, like, imagine if you made a chemical. Now you're trying to get this chemical passed, but they have banned the restrictions on certain chemicals that are involved in this chemical. So you just change the name. So if you look in the compound of Agent Orange, which you can look up, there is like C22 or C18 or certain things. Some of these are banned, but it's hard to find what those things are actually like involved. Like what is it? Is the issue that this chemical? No, it's not that one. It's actually this one. Well, why are the names so close together? Why did they name them with numbers and not give them specific like descriptions that made them different from all the other ones that are involved within it? Well, that's a Sioux issue. And it's like, what do you mean it's a Sioux issue? Much like doctors used to write their prescription and things of that sort, like if they're going to give someone morphine, they used to write it really, really fast. Was right. it writing it fast because of time, or was it writing it fast so there's no liability of you getting sued if something goes wrong?
Right, because then you could say, oh, well, you just didn't read it correctly. I meant this. It's clearly here for me to see that it says this, but you said this. So yes. It's no fault of my own. And I mean, that's the other, you know, and that's the other thing with these, some of these corporations that are being really slimy with the way that they do things, is because they have to put ingredients that are in there. You have to legally put what's in these substances, including what you put on your front lawn. And then companies will always find a way to loophole around, like, no, we just do this instead. And it's just like, just do what you're supposed to do. Just, if you don't have anything to worry and you want people to keep buying your product, if you're honest and truthful with them and don't do anything shady with it, then people are going to buy it. So you shouldn't have to be sneaky.
So why the hell does Netflix always ask, why am I still watching? Do they really care if I'm still watching, or are they, something is being used that they need to, could use it for someone who is actually watching? If I've fallen asleep, do they really care about me running up my electricity bill, or are they just worried about maybe I'm taking something from something else?
I wonder if it's has anything to do with their algorithm. People are actually completing the episode or not.
Ooh, that's a good thought.
Because, I mean, think about it, like with their algorithm, they have this, normally with content creators, it's normally like they track views or whatever. I know with our, with the pod, with my podcast, we're always checking to see who's completing it, who's downloading it, all and all that other stuff. I know content creators do the same thing. They often check their analytics, whatever, on YouTube. So I wonder if people falling asleep goose up the analytics in a way that is negative towards either content creator or towards YouTube.
You end up leading, the algorithms are getting so weird now. I'm really starting to notice the change more and more. If me and you, if I say Nick right now, like Nick,
yep.
Our friend Nick Smalley, if it, yep. Shout out to him. If that just gets mentioned in this episode, the next episode that'll play will be Nick's episode. I've noticed that with some
both
of my
things, yeah.
Some of my like Spotify stuff. If I'm listening to something where someone tells me there's a glitch on this part or there's an error on this and I have to fix it, I'm listening to it. And then towards when the episode ends, it goes over to the episode where I've mentioned that person's name before. Like I've mentioned a certain UFO person. The next thing I know, during that episode, when it ends, it leads to that UFO person's episode. I'm like, I mean, is that good or bad? I mean, what can, I mean, I watched a video of an algorithm of a horse killed a crocodile, and then a crocodile, like it was just a bunch of crocodile videos. And that eventually led me to a person jumping into a giant pit of crocodiles and dying, like kind of like an ISIS video, how those are on the internet. You start to understand that these algorithms and this was a case that got raised up during that government whistleblower about Facebook, about censorship. Did it breed a lot of hate when it came to terroristic acts like Capitol Hill type stuff? You know, you get put on a watch list if you search up certain things. Well, who's to say that the algorithm isn't accidentally supplying you with more and breeding this, I guess, seed baby inside of you that is sparking up this curiosity even more and more and more to cause you to do some of these actions too? I don't think a lot of people remember, but when President Obama was in office, there was a person that broke into the White House, just a person. You can look that up if you want.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan made a joke about it in his bit, in his comedy special, talking about how they just had a woman that was guarding the White House. And he goes, I don't think a man or a woman was fit to do that job, because if Shaq's breaking into the White House, I'm not stopping a Shaq attack. That was his joke. But this guy had been arrested about a week before with loads of guns and ammunition in the trunk of his car. And you start to go like, what? Like, they didn't watch that guy closely for having all of that outside of the White House, and instead the next week he breaks into the fucking White House. He had a planned strategy in his apartment. This is the weird part, is I don't know what they deem, like, because if you bring it back to Charles Manson, here's one thing I've learned that I really appreciate during these 1,000 episodes, is I found some rabbit hole into Charles Manson and how the government was drugging them. If you look up Tom O'Neill's book, I think it's like it has to do with Charles Manson, but it shows that the government was drugging Charles Manson. There's a certain lab that had been government bought and government ran that was supplying Manson and his friends to take these drugs. And as soon as Tom O'Neill writes a book about the government drugging Charles Manson, after 20 years of that lab or whatever, that store being open, it shut down a week later. 20 years. And a week after that book comes out, the lab shuts down and no trace of it.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, if anything defecates anyone or implies the government, you know, it shuts down. I mean, it also could have been a front for the government as well, for them to do things like that and get their hands out of the pot. So it's just, sometimes there's convenience and sometimes there's a little bit too much convenience. And that sounds like a little too much convenience.
I hate to think of this, but you know how there's like government things you can pop up to like take a certain drug or take a certain thing to be able to like, you know, hey, test out this new cream that we're using. And then you can do this trial and you get paid for it. I wonder if they somehow take advantage of people by finding someone who's not legal in this country and be able to do that on them without even paying them anything.
There's probably a promise of payment, or like there's a contract that's, We'll pay you $2,000 at the end of 2 years as a, you know, it guarantees there's a contract in there. And so that way, if anything happens and they break the contract, they don't have to physically pay them. But also, I mean, if the contract's deemed illegal in any way, that would also null and void the contract too.
Oh, but what's a deemed illegal though? I deemed illegal. How many palms do I have to grease to make sure that slips through?
Just enough.
It's kind of like I would love to talk to someone who runs a motel in like a really like kind of popular spot in Los Angeles or something. Cause right. I just want to know, like, in this 2-star motel, how many politicians and how many famous people have you seen come in here with someone that you know is not someone that they're dating, but someone that they paid?
I mean, at that point, it would just be fake names all around. They probably have the security guard pay for it in his name, and then like sheets. All right, you guys are in the hotel room now. Probably something along those lines. If I had to guess, that's how politicians get away with that stuff.
There's so much dirtiness in the world.
I've actively tried to stay away from, like, I try very hard to stay away from all that nowadays. I got enough from my students.
You better stepped up when that Fauci puppy thing came out, the Beagle shit. And I'm the crazy one. Look at that shit.
Listen, I read that. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me right now? Like, when you sent me that, it was last month was the, it's October is my busiest month of the year. Normally I used to work retail. Now this year I have a full-time job that I work. And I still work at my cultural institution and I go to grad school. So like you sent me that. I was like, read it real quick. And I was like, just I'll deal with this later. I think I did end up sharing that out later on in the day. And I talked to, I think, some people about it, but it was just like,
I thought you got pissed at me because I sent it to you and you're like, is this real? And I was like, yeah, I told you.
Well,
you're like, told me what? I was like, you dismiss everything I say about the government. I'm like, fucking be warned.
Well, I don't dismiss everything. There's, at my point, there's certain critiques I have to pick at everything. Like they're even at work. It's like, all right, but do we actually have to do this? Is this actually the right way of approaching this? Yes. Or is there a totally different way?
I don't know why sandflies needed to be involved, but.
Sandflies?
Yeah. Sandflies are the things that infected the Beagle's heads.
Oh, people do, especially so. That country in particular aggravated me, because I've done research on that country in the past for my undergrad stuff, and it's like, they seem all right. I mean, they're a little bit behind, but they seem, at least environmentally, with some of their protocols and policies they want to put in place, on the right track. But then you have this medical ethical violation. It's like, what are you guys doing here? So, and the whole medical ethic part is what aggravates me the most, because we're now in this 21st century. We shouldn't be doing this stuff whatsoever. And yet here we are inhumanely and unjustly doing these things for what, an extra, like, to reduce the research process by 5 years, be ethical. It means more if a product is ethical than cheaply or quickly inhumanely made.
Yeah, but I think you're looking at it from a standpoint of like, it's just us. Like, look at it from a country or global scan view. There's other countries that people, like, the whole reason we even got interested into the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, or psychological warriors of creating Jedis, people with psychological powers and abilities to make superhuman people or superhuman warriors, sure, was because we thought Russia was doing it. Like, you understand, like, it's yeah, every country thinks that another country is up to like this type of shit that they necessarily, honestly, I've been thinking about this a lot. My buddy brings this up. He goes, what do you think about North Korea and China? Cause he knows I'm like, I got really interested in the China thing. Yeah. I was like, it's weird that I have a thought that maybe South Korea has a play in this as well too. Like, is it that much of a, not like a movie scenario, much like everything has been a fucking movie scenario so far, but to say that they told this country, we need you to act like you hate us to the world and play it for a little bit to make it look like they want to deal with you and work with you so you get their information and then we get it back. You really think China's going to let South Korea, with the size of it, really depart and be its own thing? You really think it doesn't have eyes on North Korea and South Korea? They definitely do.
I think
it's China's a tactic. It's a grand scale tactic. I don't know.
Well, China supports North Korea and everything that, you know, it does, mainly, especially after the first split. You know, China's the only major importer to North Korea, and North Korea exports coal and all the other dirty energy out of its country to give to China so we could keep its lights on. So obviously, I know China watches South Korea, especially very closely, since South Korea is aligned with us in a way.
On purpose.
That that balance of power, I guess, in that region, with but that also causes other issues. I think that area needs to be unified in one way or another, whatever the way they want to do that. But I think China and us need to get our nose out of that complete area. Well, at least for the in the Korea case.
Well, politics aside, because we don't need to go down the politics rabbit hole, but what's been on your mind of recent? I kicked you right into a topic. We kind of escalated from there, but what's been on your mind of recent?
Oh my God.
I hit you up. You had to be like, I got something for Robbie.
So you normally joke that I don't have a historical fact for you. I got one now for you.
Okay.
So did you know that Mormon women back when we were settling the West, so like 1840s to 1880s, Mormon women sometimes entered a poly marriage for a sense of community. Since when they got out there, they might have been single or they would have been divorced recently. So remarrying someone that had multiple wives gave them a sense of community. So there's my fact for you for the day.
Yeah, I've read a lot of documentaries about and talked to a bunch of people from like ex-cults and stuff, but the Mormon religion has been one that's really interested me because there's a lot of accounts of like a guy is like, yeah, I have like 32 brothers and sisters. I'm like, 32 brothers and sisters, Jesus. And he's like, yeah, my dad was married multiple times with other people all at the same time. I was like, having more than one wife at once? I was like, what is we give shit to the Taliban or whoever for having like a bunch. He goes, yeah, but they weren't restricted and covered up. I'm like, does it make that fucking any right as well too?
I mean,
We're hitting the land of where it's gonna be like the movie Year One, where they talk about full of sodomy and sin. We're gonna end up hitting this point where it's like, fuck it, you know, our nothing matters anymore. I'm gonna have infinite wives, and my whole house is gonna be my mattress is going to be as many people as I want to sleep on.
whatever people do in their personal lives,
I
let
don't
them
care.
at it.
Do
I,
cocaine.
you do you. You know, as long as you're one treating them right, you're not, you know, ignoring all your children
Whatever you
or
do should not affect another person.
right.
Bingo.
100%.
So we
But
need
no,
to
so
tear up every single bingo hall in the world because it is ruining every single person's grandparents' lives.
know, whatever builds community, I guess, at that point. As long as grandma is not gambling away her new dentures, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but it gets to that point though. It looks like an innocent thing to us because we could just never understand gambling on bingo. But there's literally people that wake up every single day hoping that it's going to be the day that they finally have their bingo game to be able to
Right.
play and just not they care. They say it's about, oh, it's me hanging out. It's a great thing to hang out with friends or stuff like that. No, it's not. They don't talk to each other. They line up their cards, they get their different colored stampers, and they stamp their cards and they listen like a fucking machine, man. And we're their kids are like that with the TVs. We're all like that with something. So recently, I'm kind of doing my New Year's resolution early. But my New Year's resolution, and I hate doing that. I don't fucking like it when someone goes, my New Year's resolution is to do that. I'm like, you could have did it all fucking year, man. You're just giving yourself a deadline that you're gonna end up breaking. Me, my whole thing was I'm done with coffee. It's getting expensive. I'm not drinking any more coffee. And I also cut out energy drinks. But then I started getting headaches. So I was like, okay, I need my energy drinks. So I'm only down to like six or seven energy drinks a day. It's not bad.
Six, seven energy drinks a day.
Yeah.
God damn, I couldn't do that. I mean,
I've had four already.
so the
And it's noon.
I've cut out pretty much energy drinks almost entirely. There's one energy drink I'll cling to,
You
but
don't
like
like bull
coffee,
urine? Bull urine is great.
I love NOS. I love drinking NOS. NOS is a great energy
Wow.
drink.
That's the
Yeah.
grittiest of the energy drinks. That
I
one will
love.
fucking, you'll feel that in your eyeball.
Yep. But I've only drink now like one coffee a day. And even then, sometimes if I'm running late to work, to school in this case, then I won't make coffee in the morning. If I don't make it, then there's no real chance of me getting it unless I have time to go to Dunkin', which does not always happen.
Well, it's very weird how the most dangerous drug possible probably is legal compared to all the other ones that are condemned.
You mean like alcohol?
Caffeine. Caffeine is probably the most dangerous drug, and you don't need to be 21 to get it. You had to be 18 to buy energy drinks at one point in our society. Now you don't have to be 18 anymore. I remember being a kid going to get energy drinks, and they're like, you have to be 18 to buy these. I'm like, what? What do you mean you have to be 18 to buy a couple of monsters? It's like that has a high caffeine content in it. And eventually they just stopped doing that. Or maybe the woman was trying to save my life at the register. I have no fucking clue. But I entered down. And that's a good part about society. I love it when I have those strange occurrences in life where someone might stop you from doing something dangerous all because they feel like they need to stick their hand in a spot. I don't think necessarily people should be doing that because you never know when someone could just tick and stab you. But I think good intention was there, obviously. But like they did a test on a bunch of spiders. They gave spiders like marijuana. They gave spiders like all these types of synthetic drugs, and they gave them caffeine, and they watched how they complicated and designed their webs. Now the spiders, I think it was NASA or someone that did this type of test too. Someone like high in like tech did this.
Yeah.
But NASA, they, whoever it was that did it, they gave all these spiders these types of drugs from marijuana, cocaine, all these types of crazy things, and watched how they designed their webs. The marijuana one was all sporadic and like kind of crazy and creative and different than the complex kind of dimensions that they usually design their webs to be able to catch their prey. The one that did not make sense, the one that could never catch a fly, was the caffeine one, which kind of this test was to show the harmful and kind of like how we, I guess, how we view intelligence, like for we deem dolphins as intelligent because their intelligence resembles us to a very similar point. But plants are fucking intelligent. Other animals are very intelligent in different other ways. But it's how we deem intelligence, how we deem dangerous. Caffeine is productive. Caffeine makes you get done more. But meth and crack and cocaine has a bigger example of ruining your fucking life. Where I'm like, maybe it's just not moderated in a correct way, which leads to Carl Hunt, who talks about, like he did his TED talk on meth, like he did it on meth, I think we talked about before. He talks about there's a beneficial way to do it when it's not so industrialized and when it's not so polluted to the point where it's controlling your everyday life and everything that you do, a moderate type thing. I don't know, and I'm not pro the legalization of every single drug, but I think there's a giant misgap in understanding is that's why psychedelics and marijuana is starting to have another look at. Because it might have been deemed and written off as something that's wrong, where I start to look at maybe we've deemed a lot of things and written off a lot of things as wrong and written off. And maybe we've actually agreed and understanded the ones that are the most dangerous are the ones that are the most accepted by society. And that might be caffeine. I should not be experiencing headaches from cutting coffee and energy drinks.
So I know the reason why I started cutting out energy drinks and like second coffees and all that's because I went from a high paced job to more of a taking it, not taking it easy, but like I could use more energy like naturally than I could in my retail job. My retail job is where I drank the most energy drinks, had the most caffeine in my life. And that was also the long hours working. Now with both of the jobs I work now, I don't feel the need to be 100% caffeinated all the time. I can have, you know, a cup of coffee and be done for the rest of the day. But also, you know, I have now other things that give me headaches, like my coworker at times gives me massive migraines. Being in my small classroom gives me massive migraines. So like I have that stuff now, but at least the caffeine's no longer there. And not only that, I mean, getting to weed in general, marijuana was legal in the countries until the mid 20s. And that was because it was associated with jazz halls and all that, that became illegal. So there are times where we ban stuff just because of the complex or the image that it has, or the way certain communities use that as well.
The reason why marijuana is illegal, because the guy who made it illegal was he was trying to illegal or make hemp illegal.
Yes.
Because he owned a lot of acres of land that they were eventually not going to use paper from actual trees. They were going to use it from hemp because it was stronger and it was different. And it was like cars. They had a test run where they were showing like they made a bumper that was made of entirely of hemp. You could hit it with a hammer and it was not like destructible at all. It was very, very, very indestructible. And he banned it all by showing people or telling people there's this crazy new drug that's coming down from Mexico that causes people to kill and rape other people. And it's called marijuana. And it's like dirty tobacco, but the propaganda posters say wacky tobacky is all this crazy of propaganda, and it made it illegal. And I don't think people understood exactly what was all being kind of written as illegal, but it's kind of like legal speak. Like it's very, very hard to understand legal speak And when someone says it or writes something a certain way, much like Agent Orange can be C22 or C23. I can't remember which chemical is bad. There you go. It's because the way they writ it. It's very, very easy, and it's very, very hard to notice these types of things. You start to see it's easy to manipulate people, but it's harder to recognize the manipulation. That shouldn't be that way. It should be the other way around. It should be very, very hard to manipulate people. It should be very, very easy to notice the things that they're using to manipulate you. Terms and service and conditions. People accept those things without reading the full thing. Why do they do that? It's because they make the font really fucking small. And they make it a lot of it and make it in a very condensed paragraph instead of making it like an open, fun font to read. Times New Roman. Why do they do that? Because it seems professional, but it also looks boring as fuck. When you see something typed up in 12 standard font, Times New Roman, it just looks unappealing to read. Why would you not give it a fun font that's readable? So right. Other people can enjoy the types of things that you're doing. You know this as a teacher, for instance, when you're teaching students, you will understand the aspect of making the education or the thing you're trying to teach interesting and fun so they can soak up the information and learn it. Because if you speech at them, they're not going to soak it in.
Right. And so I still make PowerPoints. I make all my own PowerPoints. I don't normally use other people's stuff because I like to know what information I'm putting in there, but I make it short, straight to the point. And there's always like some like a light green background, whatever. And then I try to connect the information in a creative way. But then at the same time, I give my kids creative freedom to really apply what they learn. So for my US class, I had them write progressive era diaries where they were reformers and they took up an issue and they wrote about what they were experiencing. So I had kids write about the triangle shirtwaist fire. I had people writing about labor issues in meatpacking industries. So it gave them that creative way. So it's not just the font stuff, it's always the creative application, which is what you just described. Terms and conditions, if they made that size like 16, double spaced it and didn't make it 45 pages on its own, I think people would understand what's in there. And also the reading 20 pages of legal work, no regular brain processes that unless you're a lawyer. So that's why I keep smalling around.
But so did you listen to Nick's episode?
I listened to both of them. Both of them were really good. Actually, I saw him over the weekend. Saw him yesterday.
Is he as beautiful as he looks on Zoom in person?
He's balding just as much
in person as he is. Damn, why are you going to toss him out like that?
Because he always says he's not. But yesterday, for instance, I was standing on a military truck packing stuff for the food bank. And he was there and he was helping me. And we always go into this back and forth debate on
if you guys talk about me?
I told him that I like the episode that you were on and he likes coming on here. So he will.
Well, I won my court case. So.
And I heard that. I was like, that's awesome. I'm glad.
I beat John Hopkins in the state of fucking Maryland. What's up? Who wants to kill somebody? I got OJ.
Wait. Did you beat the welfare stuff too?
That was the thing I was telling Nick about. I beat the overpayment balance that they tossed at me.
I remember you mentioned.
Was on fucking welfare. Who the fuck?
No, sorry. No, I'm unemployment.
I think I had food stamps when I was 14.
But no, I remember you saying that during the podcast and he was like, listen, I don't know Maryland law. I don't practice this or anything.
Like,
so.
Just fucking help me. Just stop. I'm not going to use you as a reference. Just give me some information.
I always joke with him about that. He's like, listen, if you want legal talk, this fear about the state, this situation, if it's not any of that, I'm not commenting on it.
So, I think there's just a lot of stuff in the world that is set up for you to just do what exactly you're being told or exactly what they're asking of you. And I necessarily don't think that's always the option. And I think that's what I noticed about this court case thing. The one thing I just really did not appreciate about these scenarios is even when you're not in the wrong, they make you feel every single way that you are in the wrong. Everything is set up to make you feel guilty in this world. And I think it's same thing with like law speak. Even though I won my court case against John Hopkins almost a year ago back.
You felt dirty.
Yeah, but when they gave me the letter that I did win, it was written in such a way where I was like, did I win? Like I was fucking like, did I? I had to call the judge and ask, did I? He's like, yeah, you did. It's just written in legal speak. Why do you make legal speak sound like that? He goes, well, it sounds professional. I'm like, well, it doesn't give you a fucking answer. And I'm wondering why there's so much – there's a bigger jump to make someone pay for something. But when it's the other way around, there's not a lot of space for that. There's not a lot of space for people to admit that they're wrong. There's more of a space for people to want you to be wrong. And I don't like that essence of society. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm not trying to look for you for an answer to fix it. But I think you share the same opinion with me on that, is that the fact that it is very, very easy to make people feel like shit. And it's very, very hard to make the people that make you feel like shit pay for the wrongful actions. Same thing with Tulsi Gabbard when they accused her of being a Russian spy. And there's that theory she was a Russian spy. She denied all of that and shut it down during the talk on The View where that lady shut down who was questioning her about being a Russian spy. It was a fucking lie. People got away from for calling Trump a Nazi for the longest time. And then we see people right. calling another person, or the Gina Carano gets talked about Nazi Germany and Disney, and she gets attacked. What are we fucking talking about? It's picking and choosing. I don't like that shit. If you're going to have a set standard or a bar, you have to make sure everyone is following that set standard, or you're doing a double standard. And I don't like that.
Right. It's making everything equal, putting everyone on the same equal playing field, which is what everyone preaches and wants until.
Always preached it. Yeah. For almost 1,000 fucking episodes.
Yes, you have. And then you have the negative stuff, which is applied equally, and then people start getting butthurt or whatever. And then it's like, you said you wanted to be equal. Here we are. Here's the same rhetoric.
If people really gave a shit about the things that they say they stand for, and how come they're not fighting to stop those things from happening? Instead, they're attacking a person that they believe is doing those things. We see so much that goes into work ethics that are completely horrible, and standards of working conditions that are terrible. Yet we still trade with those countries, and yet we still let that scenario happen and not hold those companies responsible. Nestle is one of those people. Just type in Nestle court cases. It just happened recently too. They got sued for like $2.3 million on the Supreme Court, and they just, okay, we'll let it slide over work ethic conditions. They have a bunch of terrible labor laws that they do where they're paying people way, way, way below minimum wage to be able to do these horrible working conditions. And it's the Nestle company. They fucking run everything that involves in chocolate.
You know, and that's part of the economic global system that we have in place without it being left unchecked. Now, I'm not saying that capitalism is horrible, or I'm not saying any of that. Let me just
get the air out. There's good capitalism out there.
There's responsible capitalism.
El Chapo. He might have done horrible things, but he made his people happy. Built soccer stadiums so they didn't riot. And now, aren't his hippos technically people? The people, the hippos? Gotta look that up. El Chapo's hippos. Just type that in on the Google. I just saw an article about this saying El Chapo's hippos are technically considered people. I think he bought their rights or something like that. Did you type in El Chapo hippos?
Yeah, or I put, are they citizens? And Google's like, El Chapo hippos, are they citizens? Let me see.
Google's like, what the fuck is this person doing?
Court rules Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos are legally people.
There you go. Read that shit. I'm not, or maybe it wasn't El Chapo. Fucking all the drug pins I get mixed up.
They're the first non-human creatures to be legally considered people. The U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio recognizes the late Escobar's infamous cocaine hippos as legal persons for the first time in the United States.
Why? Out of all the crazy shit I've ever said to you, why would you doubt me now? That's all came true? Are you serious? Really? Don't doubt me ever.
The hippos are descendants of four illegally imported by Escobar. They were set free after his death in 93. Since then, the hippos have increased their numbers to more than 80, and they are reportedly going to have a global ecosystem. However, some scientists argue that they have actually been restoring.
Hippos are fucking vicious. Their bite's strong as shit.
Yeah, they are. That's why.
You wouldn't think, because they only have like two teeth in the front of their mouth, and they just look so innocent.
But like the way that their jaw opens up and
it's a flap.
Yeah.
Stronger than an alligator.
I always love it when Cincinnati Zoo, they post the stuff with their hippos, and they have like the giant pumpkins in there, and you just see them like kind of like feeling around, seeing where the strong points are, and then just crushing it all. It's like, oh, I love you hippos, but that's also terrifying to watch. Mm. But anyways, yeah, that's interesting. Thank you for
teach your students my knowledge. Share my wisdom.
I got enough things to teach them.
I had someone say, like, you can't be saying a bunch of conspiracies like this before. I'm like, I'm not going to bring fake conspiracies on here. At least out of my mouth, it's not going to happen. But ideas and things, especially that I think through and things that I've heard, you might have to look them up, but they're not conspiracies. Like, I sent you that. If I would have told you that Beagle thing, you would have been like, fucking, that's the biggest conspiracy I've ever heard. But then I send you the article, and it's been talked about everywhere, and he has until November 19th to talk about it. Like, I watched the 3-hour thing of Congress and him talking about vaccines and all this type of stuff. And I've never seen Congress question more about this, where, like, now they've understood, like, yeah, he kind of did lie about gain of function research. And you start to be like,
kind of.
Well, like, he did lie, but he was like, yeah, but I said it before. And people are like, no, how do you know he's lying? His hand shaking could be a medical condition. Well, his fucking hand wasn't shaking when he was answering questions this time. He was fucking stern as hell with all his answers, because he goes, the definition of what you describe gain of function research is not, you don't understand. It's like, you change the fucking definition of it. Of course, that's what I'm saying is, this is the same thing with Coke. This is the same thing with Nestle. This is all this shit. It's people that are able to just pay the system, be able to change whatever the fuck they want. And I don't like that. I think you need to hold people responsible. If you are so 100% through in what you believe to be true, then stand by it and do not falter when you are proven wrong.
Right. It's all about that self, you know, self accountability at the same time. It's like, if my students, if I get something wrong, which I've mentioned some things wrong, my students are like, actually, it's like, no, you're right. You know, and you should tell me if I'm wrong. And I also tell you, I don't know everything. That's why I try, whenever I do find information, it's like, hey, you know, blah, blah. Or if they ask me a question I don't know about, it's like, hey, give me like a day or two, ask me that question again. Let me dig around and see if I can find anything.
The education system is so fucked, though. Everything's fucked. But the education system is making some large improvements, very large improvements, mostly from when I was a kid and had ADHD. It was just considered like being mentally challenged, and they just locked me in a room. Now it's kind of being looked at differently because people understand what ADHD is now. It's just, I think a lot of times in the education system, there's people that when they did raise the question, it was kind of shut down. Or like, you don't know, I'm the teacher. And it's kind of spoken from a higher pedestal, which is probably why I never gave it the time of day. And I think there's a giant change of that happening now. I think podcasts are really not mine. I'm not talking about mine. I'm just talking about educational ones in general, like the ones you have that might be giving some historical thing with some fun to it. Even reaction videos or YouTube videos of people talking about certain subjects and really bringing kind of a change of the way that we look and kind of view and kids being able to consume information rather than a textbook. I think it's causing the students to have an upper hand in a way where I think teachers now have to treat their students on the same level in a lot of aspects, where when I was a kid, that wasn't the same thing. The only thing that you really had was a Black Eyed Peas CD in your mixtape, or a little CD player, and you would listen to it on the way to school, or you had a recording off of something that you were able to record on a tape deck player and be able to play that on the bus ride, and that's all you listened to was music. MTV is dead, not because of Teen Mom. MTV is dead because nobody really cares about listening to fucking music all the time anymore. That used to be the only thing. And then there was talk radio. But you had to be in a car to fucking enjoy that.
Right.
Now it's podcasts have really taken off in the market, but it's also dying now too. It's also reading a new form of attention spans and a new way to soak up information, which is leading to reaction videos, which is leading to TikToks, which is leading into Vines. And there's a whole massive amount of people suffering a severe tick from TikTok now. Did you see that?
No, I haven't. I don't have TikTok. My students will sometimes say, it's like, I don't know what you're talking about, guys.
Look up severe tick from TikTok. We're going to prove everything I say on this podcast. This is why I like having you on, is because you can fucking verify me.
Well, it's not, you know, I
validation is what I need. Give it to me. Hey, give it to me. Maybe we can look up JFK documents. Why haven't they disclosed it yet? Oh, it's because they can't disclose it now.
Magic. That's the animal ticks. That's not TikTok.
Look up TikTok, people suffering ticks. T-I-C. Tick, tick, tick. Like a spasm. Like a brain mechanism isn't firing off properly. A neuron is delined. A bird shits in the woods. Can anybody hear it? I don't know.
I would say yes. Animal's hearing that somewhere.
I didn't think you were paying attention to me. When I Google, I can only Google. I can't fucking listen to people talk.
Be aware of the signs and symptoms. No, that's I don't want tick stuff.
T-I-C.
That's what I'm typing in. I'm just getting a bunch of CDC stuff.
The animal spelled T-I-C-K. Tick, tock.
There it is. That's fine because I'm not that hip, so I'm not.
Read it to the people. Liberate their minds with the freedom of liberation.
What's Fudzilla?
What? Is that the site?
Yeah, TikTok gives teen girls a tick. I don't want to read that.
Why wouldn't you want to read the article I told you to look up?
Is it from Funzilla?
I don't know. I read it. It said UK study shows that young teen girls are suffering tics from an app called TikTok.
Oh, that's... So the reason why I backed out and I had to read the first part is doctors from around the world are seeing a rise in cases of tick-like behaviors in teen girls, which they believe causes by watching TikTok. So they're getting tick-like symptoms from TikTok.
Like ticks?
Yeah, or like ticks.
Ticks like the animal.
Yes, that's why I was confused.
They're so, suffering from like Lyme's disease from a TikTok video?
The first sentence of tick-like behaviors in teen girls. So that's why the connection, but they're also connecting it to Tourette syndrome.
An actual tick, not like an insect bit you and now you're suffering fatigue and shit. You're suffering like a weird tick.
So the picture I have, it has a picture of a tick.
Jesus.
I'll send it to you and you can see what I mean.
Send it to me.
I'm going to send it to you.
So what does it mean? Can you just read it to me?
Yeah. So
I'm gonna fucking read it now.
Doctors around the world are seeing a rise in cases of tick-like symptoms in teen girls, which they believe to be caused by watching TikTok videos about Tourette syndrome. But the picture they have is a tick, like warning, tick-infested area. Pediatric hospitals are reporting an increase in teen girls coming in after developing ticks, sudden twitches or noises that are common. Symptom of Tourette syndrome during the pandemic. Sudden rise is unusual, with tics typically occurring in boys, not girls. Experts in US, Canada, the UK, and Australia studied the patterns for months and consulted between hospitals, finding the common factor between the girls was an interest in watching TikTok videos.
But are they fucking ticking and then driving into another car on the road? How is their tick affecting them? What is it? Is it just a random tick or is it?
So it's saying sudden twitches or noises. They didn't experience before, but now they have.
I've been to a Starbucks and some random person has screamed devil before. It's not fucking new. It is weird, though, if you walked into like a crowd of people and said, hey, I'm making a TikTok. Everybody jump. And then everyone would jump. I bet you. I bet you $1,000.
I'd look around and be like, what's this?
You would because you're a critical thinker that's never used TikTok.
I mean, I know people that use TikTok, but I don't have the need to download it or watch it. I thought about it, but I'm like, nah, it's not.
The whole aspect is the number of likes and shares and all this type of stuff your videos can get off of doing something that's no longer than 10 seconds long.
Which is the same thing with
the fact I'm trying to create a film that's almost an hour is fucking stupid. Not because it's me making a film, it's because it's a fucking hour.
But it's like Instagram, it's like Snapchat, it's all that. I mean, the platform's already there. I don't understand why there has to be another platform to do that. But you know what? People do what they want.
The weird part is I was speaking to someone who like makes actual shows for like the History Channel and shit. And he was telling me, he goes, you just need to understand what the algorithm is and that yours is not going to be slipped into the algorithm first up. It's going to take a while for it to actually be tricked up by the algorithm. And I was like, wait, so like or should I just, what should I do? He's like, well, you understand that like Spotify, for instance, the best time to get the max consumption of plays is when there's a certain algorithm. Same thing with YouTube. YouTube gets a lot of views on videos that are 8 minutes to 15 minutes long. Same thing with TikTok. TikTok videos, the more that's involved into the TikTok gets more views, you know, the more production that's put into it, because it is already a short thing. But the amount of like why YouTube added clips, they added clips because it was supposed to entice people to view your content more and hopefully link into the bigger picture of whatever that clip was taken from. It's very weird how like, I never care about how long something is. I always just look at if I'm interested in it. You know what I mean? Like I watched the Zodiac movie. It's fucking 3 hours long. I didn't care about the fuck. I fucking fell asleep, woke up. I was like, it's still fucking on. It's like, I don't care about how long the film is. I care more about the content of whatever is being created in it that got my attention in the first place. If I see a funny cover photo and I start watching the film after a second, if I don't like it already, I'll click off of it. But if it's something I know I'm going to like by the description of what the story is, I'm going to watch it. Same thing with Keanu Reeves in that new movie, Replica, that came out.
Right. I mean, for me, it's always, you know, what the theme of it is. So, like, there are a couple of horror podcasts I listen to, and, like, if it sets me in a mood, I don't want to disrupt it, so I won't pause it or anything. So, if the drive is long enough, and if I'm listening to a horror, then that's fine. But, like, hour-long stuff, like, your stuff, other podcasts I listen to, if it's, like, an hour and a half, it's like, all right, so this will be, I'll get a good amount of information on my drive there, and on my way home, and then if I'm going somewhere else.
I'm not shortening my episodes.
You shouldn't. you fit a lot in the time that you have. I know some people do the same thing with, you know, the podcast that I work on. So it's like, it all depends on what the content is behind it, relating back to what you were saying earlier. It all depends on what's in there and what type, like, if I'm watching a doc, I want to sit there and watch it the entire time so that way I'm not breaking that train of thought.
I do get upset though when I come across someone that's like, you have almost 1,000 episodes. Well, I have almost 1,000 episodes too. And then I check out their content and it's like 5 minute an episode. I'm like,
fuck off.
Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Like, I'm sorry. That's a song, dude. I don't mean to discredit anybody's work, and all work is fucking good and beautiful in its own way, but you can't like diminish mine when I look at yours and is way fucking 1,000 of that will be one episode of mine.
Right. It's apples and oranges. Like the content is probably very different. The way that it's spoken is very different. So it's like,
I'm just scared that they can create an algorithm based on how much content hours I've uploaded into the fucking internet. We've established this. I would love to beat that fucking Robbie that would come to my door and try and fight me, because I would fucking knock its fucking artificial face in half.
Cloning.
It would be interesting, though, is that if they did get cloning to a point where if you died, like, let's say, God forbid, you walk out in the street and get hit by a car, then that other artificial thing just kicks up and they have your intelligence in this artificial thing. And then, you know, nobody would be able to determine if it wasn't Tibbs that, you know, this, because they've analyzed whatever of yours content wise, and they went made a copy of me and I died, and they made a copy of me. Would the copy that's of this show, that is me, would it be the same person that my mom could recognize or one of my family members could recognize? I have created in this show exactly how I am outside of it. So it would 100% be me. But for a lot of people, what are they just going to be talking about serial killers all the fucking time? Like, you see what I mean? A horror podcast or something like that. It becomes strange where I start to look at, like, maybe one day you get a Tibbs that walks up to your fucking door and he's all about murder, or he's all about history, he's all about this. You like those aspects, but you can also branch outside of those. That's why it's so hard to nail down an individual personality, even with scanning hours of content, if you're not being, you know, necessarily all of you.
But not only that, then there's the act factor of people change their minds all the time. Like, the Tibbs now is not the same Tibbs I was 5 years ago in 2016. You know, I'm very much a different person. Like, back then I was all about working retail and moving up. I'm very much not that way now. I'm very much anti-malls and anti-big change, really, unless I have to. You know, the Tibbs now is very...
What's wrong with malls?
I can't stand malls.
Well, I've never even been in a mall before, I don't think. I think I've been once.
I can't stand them. I
is
think
it the smell of a pretzel, or is it the fucking fact that kids are wishing into a fountain and throwing their pennies in there because they want their dreams to come true? What do you hate? Children's laughter and pretzels. You're a piece of shit. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I worked in retail for roughly 10 years on and off, and malls have a habit of bringing out the absolute worst in people and then people making it seem like it's okay. So for instance, during January, it's our return season of the retail market I was working in.
This is my James Franco face when he does that thing in the interview where he's like,
oh, I was working retail and it was after Christmas and this family had bought a hoverboard.
Oh shit.
Anyone went to go return it. Now, we didn't have any in stock.
Hang on. My son is now paraplegic because of your hoverboard. I would like to return it. I'll offer you a gift card. if you give me your email address.
Well, it wasn't even that. We didn't have any in stock, which is our typical policy is for electronics. And even then, we were kind of making an exception because we can't obviously put it back on the shelf. We can't do anything with it. And that company deals with their refunds on their own. And so the gentleman, we're trying to explain it. We're being nice to him. And he's just getting angrier and angrier. And this guy slams his fist on the counter so loud that the people in the back of the store can hear him. And you just see people frantically grab their children and running out of the store, like dropping their stuff and just leaving. And this guy's wife looks at his kids and is encouraging them to do it. So he's like, yeah, do that. You know, we want, you know, blah, blah. And like it turned into a huge, huge thing.
Is that your worst retail experience? Like, what's your worst?
No, that's not one of my worst ones. I had, when I was 16, I had a customer follow me around while I was stacking CDs and she wanted to tickle me to see what the sound effect I would make would be. I was like 16.
What the fuck is that person on? I would have elbowed. Was like, do that in Baltimore. Watch you get shot real quick.
I had a drunk woman come into the store one time. Take advantage
of her. Just kidding. Don't do that.
And I used to say, ma'am. So like someone came in, I'm like, oh, how you doing, ma'am? You know, the respectful, you know, some of the cultural stuff I picked up while I was living in the South. And so I just say that out of habit, not thinking anything of it. And this woman's like, you're an asshole calling me ma'am and all this, like loud enough that the whole store could hear it. And so like, it got to the point where I changed my wording from ma'am to miss, and people that were in the store at the time was like, she's like, so ma'am, huh? I'm like, and I had people leave. But I've had some other wild experiences in retail. And so the mall aspect, especially kids, like, I've seen 13-year-old kids try to steal CDs or like $200 worth of CDs in their pockets. And it's like, what are you doing?
My buddy used to have in his shirts, he used to have the back part where like the tag would be. He had it ripped out, like it was just a circular hole in his back part of his shirt. And I was like, what is this, man? He's like, I'm just not good at ripping out tags. And I was like, oh, that's fucking crazy. It turns out it's those little things that they clip onto clothing that you have to swipe and get it unclicked out. He was taking it and ripping those off and then getting a bunch of clothes.
For free, yeah.
That was like 10 years ago. So I think the statute of limitations is gone.
Yeah. But no, so it's just, you know, see the worst, you just see the absolute worst in people working in a retail mall setting. And that, I was fine with that. And then COVID hit and the way the company dealt with it was very unorthodox. There were some things going on in the company I didn't exactly like. So that was the other big push. But no.
Human trafficking.
I can't stand retail now. Like if that's, I have to go to
that's
a mall,
the face of a human traffic witnesser.
They were
human trafficking, weren't they?
They were not human
behind
trafficking.
The at least not to soft my soft baked pretzels. That's why you don't like pretzels.
I like pretzels, especially when you get like the melted cheese or if you get like mozzarella sometimes.
Oh, trash. See it plain like a person.
Huh?
eat it plain like a normal person. I like Mike Tyson when the Mike Tyson was asked if he could have one thing, what would it be like food wise? And he was like, oh, nothing beats a soft baked pretzel. Nothing beats a soft baked pretzel. No salt, just a soft baked pretzel. And I'm like, that's a fucking genius right there, man. I love a soft baked pretzel that's no salt on it, but nothing beats a biscuit. Nothing in the fucking world, man. A nice biscuit. Oh my God. I was trying to understand why I hate the smell of Marshall so much. And why recently I could not, I wasn't smelling it anymore. And then I went, I was in a Marshall's recently and I was getting something. I dropped something and I bent down to pick it up and I smelled it. And I was like, it's that fucking smell again. Why am I only smelling it down here? And you realize that when you were a kid, you're at that level. So you smell it down there. And then I went up, I was like, I hate that fucking retail smell. That smell gets me, man. It stinks to my clothing like seafood.
It, that's what,
That probably gives you migraines when you walk in.
I avoid anything that has smells. Anything that has like a strong scent to it, I avoid. Like Macy's, JCPenney, like especially like that cologne area, avoid it. If I have to go into like, I sometimes still go to that store, friendly with the manager over there and some other people, but like I'm in and out. Like I can't stand people's attitudes in malls and especially in stores. It's like just grow up a little bit, you know? But
I would like to take a skateboard and like an unopened mall and just skate through the fucking mall. That smooth, smooth tile. I think the cool part about a mall that I went to, it's in, the nearest one would be like almost an hour away, but it's it has a Chuck E. Cheese. And I'm like, dude, fucking
you mean shit. child casinos?
Well, yeah. I'm not mad at it. Fuck it. They got a good idea is capturing kids' attention spans and making them hold their parents hostage. I really appreciate those family things because we used to have one in my town that I used to go to all my birthday parties. And I remember my parents not having enough money to be able to throw a birthday party there. And the guy did it for free. It was called Family Fun Center. The guy was a genuine nice guy. And I asked my dad, I was like, was he or was he one of those people you hear about on the TV that like, if you left me alone, would he do something? He goes, no. He goes, I was with you at all times. And that dude generally gave a shit about the kids that were there because he understood that the kids are our future. And I was like, really? I was like, that's fucking intense, man. And it sucks that place turned into a thrift store, but that was like a, like playing skee ball. He would let you run up to the front of the thing and throw it up there. And then he would give you any prize. If you didn't have the tickets. He didn't care. He was genuinely a nice person. And I was like,
I had very nice experiences.
He was like, I remember I asked my dad about that. I was like, whatever happened to that building that was there like 5-10 years ago? He goes, man, that dude was a nice dude. He goes, you don't know how many times he helped out people in situations where they couldn't afford a birthday party there. And he did it for free all because he actually cared about a kid having like a really good time, not like in a weird child abduction way, which is how society thinks of it now. So if anybody out there was thinking it, that's a horrible thought. That's a terrible thought. But he was a genuinely nice guy. And it's like, it's opposite of Willy's Wonderland where everyone's a fucking Satanist psychopath. I don't know if you saw that movie with Nick Cage, but
no, I did.
It's like a Five Nights at Freddy's version with Nick Cage in it. And he doesn't say a fucking word, but it's so good.
I'll have to check it out. Add it to the list.
It's on Hulu.
I'll watch it one day, one of these days.
But I think there needs to be more things like that. There's not a lot of faith in society really doing things that they used to do. Most like holding open a door. Even now, like I was holding open a door for someone. I was literally walking out of a door first. It was a Dollar Tree. So everything's a fucking dollar. So it's the content of the people that go there are, I mean, I guess I'm one of those people. But it's not really, everyone's kind of in a rush. So right. I was going out of the door and this woman was walking really fast up to it. And as soon as I'm going out the door, she goes in like where I had to like scrunch in like that. I'm like, there's another fucking door to open up, but she didn't give fuck. She just went right in. And then a woman was kind of behind her. I held it open for her and she goes, thank you. And I was like, yeah, you're welcome. You know, but what the fuck? Like, where's the decency in society?
People are always in a hurry, man. People are, you know, hurry to get things done, hurry to get to the next spot or whatever. And they don't want to take a moment to really think about what they're doing or be polite about it, you know? And a lot of it, I don't know. I'm noticing the students I have, the younger ones will do that. So like, for instance, if a student forgets their agenda I have my own personal agenda that I give them to use for the hall pass part. So like if they have to go to the restroom or whatever, I sign it out and I give it to them. And, you know, some say thank you. Most of my upper kids, like my juniors and my seniors, say thank you. It's like, yeah, no problem. But like my sophomores, they'll just take it out of my hand. Like they own it and then like not hand it back to me if I'm talking, but like they'll throw it on the desk really hard and then go right to their seat. It's like, this is what happens. This is the start of it.
I never understood that until I got older. Like, yeah, that is kind of a dick thing to do. And I understand why teachers would always be like, you know, hand it to me, you know, like be like that. And it's like, oh, you want a sense of power. It's like, I think everyone's kind of misunderstanding each other. There's like that teenage angst that's so hard to get past of like kids thinking that the world, like, I mean, you're a kid, you think that you're going to be a number one star. You think you're going to be all these types of things that goes through your mind, thinking you're going to be some important thing. And then you kind of get to adulthood and you got to be kind of realistic on some aspects. Doesn't mean kill your dreams. You can be that. I mean, Lil Nas is 21 years old. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, I saw that shit. I was like, well, fuck me. Maybe I should just wait till my next life to try and be something of something. but you look at it, like, on an aspect of, like, yeah, I had a bunch of teachers go, you know, this is, like, a treat I gave to you guys, right? This isn't, like, a thing that teachers do. This is a special thing that I did, like, having this movie time or having this type of thing. Right. This was a thing that I do because I like my students, you know, and you start to realize, like, people take things for granted. A treat has now become something that people just expect, and that's not good. I don't know. I'm not going to fix that. I'm not going to be the person to fix that. And I'm probably at fault of doing those things myself. But I think there's a realization where with this idea of how many people supported small businesses when this pandemic was opening everything back up. A lot of people did. That kind of went out the door now, where now it's only an exclusive group like Black-owned businesses or all this. Not saying they shouldn't get help, but the idea has changed now. Like, we should just be about supporting people who just are having a very rough go at things, not devising people into a certain category like people love to do, whether you're Asian, whether you're whatever. People want to put you into a fucking category.
Right. And, you know, that kindness has to start somewhere, you know. And I think it's getting people having positive experiences or not being trained, but showing the benefits of doing good thing. So my students, I give them, so if there's a due date, I give them 2 extra days. So if it's due, if it gives them on the 14th, it's due the 16th, they can still get 100 up to the 18th. So I give them those 2 extra days that way, you know, because I get life's busy and I tell them, like, you know, things happen, still that expectation, you know, factoring in that, you know, I'm going to treat you the same way, even if you do turn in a little bit late.
Give them a grace period.
Right. Now at day 15, it's a zero because you lose 5 points every day. So at 15 days, it's 20 points. So it's not really worth anything. But, you know, I try to give them that in every opportunity to make up work and things like that. You know, it's not just a COVID thing, but it's like, hey, you guys make mistakes. And when you're adults, you're going to make mistakes. There are people who are going to give you opportunities to fix that mistake. You just got to make sure you do it right.
It's just so hard. Like, I look at my teachers, I'm like, if they knew what was going on, like when my dad stabbed my mom in the eye with a pair of scissors and I had to go to school the next day and I was just soaked in her blood. And I was just like, I don't have my homework. F. I'm kidding. It never happened.
I was going to say, oh, is there something we need to talk about
here? No, I think there's like, I knew a couple teachers who really thought about that, but it's not up to the teachers to expect that to happen. But it's so hard to be able to do your job effectively knowing that there's a possible scenario. And I there's a couple kids in my class that I had that like were having really, really, really rough situations as well, too. Way worse than anything that I probably could. I experienced like what my parents worked 2 jobs. Nobody was ever home. And if there was arguments or fights, then that was out a different scenario. But I think like there's a lot of stuff where you start to realize like there's a reliance in you. Like I probably was one of those people that had a lot of, like I had the food and all that type of stuff to survive, but it was like there was no direction of where really to go. It was kind of, you got to figure it out. And that was like something where I was like, I never could figure out the school shit. I was just trying to figure out things that kept my own sanity and balance.
The life,
you know what I mean?
The life stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a misstep. I'm not saying that there needs to be helicopter teachers or people that are guarding you as well too, but it was interesting. I saw an article about a video actually about a bunch of dads who were worried about the violence in the schools were getting so bad that they just spent what I think it was. I think they did something with their jobs or did like some pulled their vacation time or something and just spent like a week at this school wearing t-shirts that says Hall Monitor Dad. And they were just giving these kids, it was like in a minority school, I would right. say. And they were just giving them things like a lot of the guy said it best. He goes, a lot of these kids don't have dads at home. And actually, oh, you know what? We're going to do it on this show. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to pop open the old Google.
Wow. This is a change of pace for you. You normally don't open up Google because your computer normally takes a nosedive.
It's probably going to, but we're going to try it anyway.
All right, fair enough.
But it was just something where it's like, I'm not expecting society to step up to do these types of things, but to say that it's out of the realm of possibility that people aren't thinking the same thing as you and aren't willing to do something about it when they get pushed to a certain point. I just hope that it's not redlined before anything environmental wise, people need to be at a red line for them to act. Because nobody ever, Al Gore's been saying that polar bears are going to be on fire every day. It's like, well, start wondering why it's like 70 degrees in fucking November and you start to hit a different aspect of things. You know what I mean?
So up here in Rhode Island, we're starting to get like the cold stuff. But last week it was 60 degrees. It was 60 freaking degrees last week. And this week now, like the temperature went from like 60 to 30s. And it's like, why? Why is this jump here now? Like, weather, cool, not all at once. Come on now. But what happens when, you know, you do stuff to the environment and don't want to fix it up later?
I found it.
Send it in the chat.
Send it in the chat.
Or you can just pull it up, whatever. Or float your boat.
Pull it up as soon as this. Just want to make sure I'm not blowing out people's ears with them. They're giving me an ad for the Fiverr journey, which I don't understand what that means.
You don't want your listeners learning about Fiverr and its positive effects?
Sounds like a fucking dick pill.
Are you sure you're on the right news site and not some other site?
I'm on the right news site. Share the sound as well, too. Did it work?
Out of the blank has started screen sharing.
Yes. Oh.
There we are.
Can you hear it? No, you can't. I have muted.
Wes went up at a troubled school. Who answered the call? A bunch of DADs. Here's CBS's Steve Hartman on the road.
Not many good news stories begin in such a bad
news. They're so tall.
It happened.
But when you were saying
kids are aging, hold on. Kids are aging fast as fuck, man. I saw a kid that was 15 years old and he looked like he was 42. I was like, Jesus Christ.
But not only that, when you said fights, I thought it was like, you know, the small, like maybe once a week pushing and shoving, not like
I used to watch these in school. I bet my teacher, I was like, I bet you can pull up a video of a lady getting hit in the head with a shovel on the internet. And he goes, I don't think that's up there. And it was that video.
I know that video.
Stories begin in such a bad news way. It happened last month here at Southwood High School in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Plagued with violence.
Over the course of 3 days,
another fight.
People used to just stand and watch a fight. Now they jump in.
But strangely, there hasn't been another incident since. Perhaps in part because of this most unusual crisis intervention team.
Nobody here has a degree in school counseling. No majors in criminal justice.
No.
Your qualifications are?
We're dads. We decided the best people who can take care of our kids are who? For us.
So Michael Lafitte started Dads on Duty.
We're out doing what we do for our babies.
A group of about 40 Southwood dads who now hang out at the school in shifts.
Let's go.
Today, any negative energy that enters the building has to run a gauntlet of good parenting.
What's going on, buddy?
You moving fast. I like that horse.
I immediately felt a form of safety.
We stopped fighting. People started going to class.
How could that be?
I don't know. But what I'm saying is like if work wasn't so tasking, if parents didn't have to work all fucking day and hate their life and keep trying to move even more forward to the point where they're sitting in their car in the fucking driveway, afraid to go into their house to what monstrosities in their house
right.
because of their fucking work day was so hard that they can't handle anything without fucking snapping. If you made it work at your own pace. If you can get a certain amount of work done over whatever month that they need to do, if you can get it all done in the first week and then you have that all that time off, why do you need to be in the office 9 to 5 to make appearances? Doesn't make sense. Where I'm like, with this giant work from home thing where a lot of people are working from home now, can you make it so if there was less of a workload and parents weren't super stressed and they had a little bit of free time, you don't think that more than a couple of dads or a couple of parents would get involved into their schooling to help out these situations? Right. When I was in school, in high school, compared to when my brother was in high school, he's 4 years above me. So when I was a freshman, he was a senior. When he was in there, there was one cop, because there was a lot of fighting going on. I think that started his freshman year is when they decided to put a some type of officer, sheriff in there.
Right.
By the time I became a senior, there was six because it had gotten that bad. It's only gotten worse. I go to school now. There's no fucking way. I mean, not since the COVID thing, but there's no way. Like, I hear my cousin who's just graduated. He talked about, like, junior year, there was like 12 cops in there, man, at all times. They always had so many troopers in there because there was kids that just doing shady shit. A kid got stabbed at our school. It's gone down the shitter. It's because you have a lot of kids that don't really get to see their parents as well, too. I hate to side with Steven Crowder on this, but the nuclear family is not the only option, but it is a good aspect of having values and stability in a household as well too. Doesn't necessarily need to be a man and a woman. Doesn't need to be a man and a man. Doesn't need to be a woman and a woman. It can be whatever the fuck you want, but it's just about being there for those times. And then you have more scenarios like that where you have people that give a fuck about their kids, not even their kids, other people's kids. You have a general consensus of caring about your community, which comes with conversation, and it also comes with not fucking hating your life and making it so damn difficult because it's hard to fucking survive today. And these corporations are not making it better. Nobody's making it better.
The only people that can make it better is just individuals trying to take what reins they can into their own hands to make it possible, you know? And that's what those dads were doing right there, is taking life and saying, you know what? I got to change direction of what I'm doing professionally to help better support my household and support my community, you know. And that's, I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to people just care less and less about community. It seems like every year, and care more about their own individual selves and circles, which, you know, the individual component can lead to having a caring about the community because if the community impacts you, but at the same time, you have to care about that community.
I don't know. I have faith in the world, but God damn it, if they don't test it at times.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm doing with I have my kids in groups and pods. So they're always looking at each other because one, COVID, they were very distant. So I'm trying to break that so that way they're all talking to each other and all that and get conversation going. But I also reiterate that life's not an individual. Like, it's individuals who make up a community, and whatever decision we have to make as a group, as a classroom community, we have to do that, just to kind of also instill that in them. And I think that's the other thing, is students feel like they're on it on their own, or teachers highlight certain one individual after another, so people feel like they can do it on their own, which sometimes that happens, but the community is also there to back you up and support you, and you need to give that backup and support back to community as well.
I want to clarify that I don't just think it's one issue or it's another issue. Right. I clarify that that's a whole, and I hate the word fucking systemic, so I'm not going to use it. I'm going to say systematic. Complex. Systematic. It's a systematic issue. It's not just one. It's a billion things going wrong that's leading up to all these things. The fact that, I mean, I give anybody who's a parent credit that if their kid is fucking not a psychopath, because there's so many things that can go wrong and you're just banking that everything goes right. And even right is just the 99% chance that your kid doesn't have a fucking murderous childhood. And I mean, you're looking at the aspects of what society is like now, why you have, like, I was watching, I think this really hit me with the Zodiac film too, where like Zodiac threatened about picking off kids like little hopping children off of a bus, and seeing Jake Gyllenhaal go to drop his kid off at the bus and then pull him off last second, be like, I'll drive him to school. It's that fear. that you don't know what can go wrong. You don't know how society is. And now society is so unpredictable. It's very, very hard to adjust your decisions or actions. So because it's so hard to just think in that moment and adapt to something that's constantly evolving and constantly adapting. You can only put your stress one situation, even though I'm not a parent, you're not a parent that you know of. People love to say that little joke. They always like that I know of. I'm like, fucking give me a break. But you only have time for one thing when you have a kid, and that is your kids, unless you're focused on something else. And then your kid gets neglected. And then you start to realize that society shouldn't be at this point where you can only focus on one. It should make it so there's enough time for everything. There's enough time to fly a kite. There's enough time to ride a bike. There's enough time to on a train with a plane, with a Maine in the Seine. I don't know, some Cat in the Hat fucking reference. Right. I'm not trying to be like a Gandhi at all. I just think that there's viable options when we look at where do we deem our value. And I don't think our value is placed in the proper areas. It's because of a time crunch. There's an unrealistic expectation that you're not going to be able to get everything that you want to get done in the matter of time that you have to do so, whether it's Bezos or whether it's life in general. And I don't think that's the point. I don't think the point is to get everything done. I think the point is to always be doing one thing that you really appreciate doing, or doing multiple things that you appreciate doing, not wasting a second of your time being unhappy.
Right. No, 100%. I mean, October, so back to last month. So every day there was something for me to do. Monday, I went to my school job. So I was there from 7 a.m. till 3:30, 4 o'clock. Right after that, I went to my cultural institution job. I was there from 5 to 11:30 p.m. Got home at midnight. Rinse, repeat. Tuesday, I went to my grad school. Wednesday, full-time, my regular job, scouts. Thursday, so like every day there was something until Friday. Friday was my only day where at night was my date night with my lady friend. Saturday morning was a deep day with us until I went to work later that night. But my students asked me, because I told them my life. I'm like, listen, guys, like, if you're going to email me, I'm not going to get back to you until probably tomorrow morning because I have all these things going on. And they're like, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I enjoy all the things. You know, I like being here with you guys. I like the content we're going over. I like the direction we're going. I like the stuff that you guys bring up. But I also like my institution job because that's a passion project of mine. So I don't see it as, you know, burdensome. I'm tired in the morning, but I'm spending all this energy trying to make everything that I like enjoyable for those around me as well. You know,
and even though it, you might just be affecting your students, it plays a bigger chain of things. Or I mean, even if it's just the reason I don't all out hate the education institute is because the teachers that did give me the time of day. You start to notice the kind of shifts and the changes all by doing something that you think might be so minuscule is actually playing a big effect of things. So, Jesus Christ, is that your fingers that you're cracking?
Yep.
You're a sick fuck.
I've been called worse.
I
love
you. I wouldn't invite you on a third time or fourth time. Is this the fourth? It's the fourth.
I think it's fourth.
I've seen your face three times on my cover videos. So yeah.
And you know, every time... And I just want to make this correlation. I don't know what it is, but every time that you reach out to me, there's something major going on professionally. And it's like
I sense it.
Well, so when
you're trying to ruin your fucking career.
It's not even that. So when you first emailed me, I think it was like September or whatever, and I just started my full-time job. When you emailed me, it was also when I applied for another education job and I didn't get it. And the person who got it, she rightfully deserved it. She's been there for a while.
Kill her.
Support everything that she does. No.
Murder her.
No. Like
in a mall by a soft pretzel shop.
No.
That's you're going to say. Yes.
No. But no. So then, but the 2 days after that, I got a phone call from where I'm working now, which has been very interesting. Okay. No, it's very weird. Like the situation I am in is very unique. Like this is the fourth time this has happened ever in people's careers. So I'm co-teaching right now with someone else. He's a more veteran teacher than I am. He's been in the system for around 20 years. But he's been in and out due to medical reasons. And there's some good stuff, you know, and there's stuff in there that he's taking time out for. But so I'm in there with him, and some of the stuff is that I'm there to support him as he not relearns how to teach, but improves his craft. And some of the stuff that he likes what I do with the kids and all that, but he won't do it. He won't adopt some of those newer things that he's seen to work. So every day when I work with him, I often leave with a migraine because I just feel like, you know, it's a lot's going on, you know, from that situation to that change. That situation changes hour to hour.
Is he bipolar?
Well, not even that. Like the whole dynamic of it is weird. Like
give me his symptoms, and I bet I can guess it.
I'm not.
You haven't said his name, so nobody's at fault here.
So there'll be times where he's super happy, super energetic for like a week or two, and then he'll have this massive crash where he does not have any energy whatsoever. He starts.
Is he diabetic?
No, he's not. He's not diabetic.
Is he bipolar?
I know what he has, and so.
I understand, but let me guess.
Yes.
Bipolar? That you're smiling like it is.
I'm not confirming or denying on this.
I fucking guessed it on my first guess. Holy shit. I'm a god. That's why I tell people is like I'm really good at reading facial cues, like facial kind of things. And when I saw Fauci's hand shaking when he was doing the first testimony thing, I was like, that's a sign of a liar. That's someone who's nervous about to be in a fight. I said it on the show. And people said it was, oh, he could have a medical condition. Ah, fucking give me that shit. I'm so good at sensing BS. It's ridiculous. And I think I had talked about this with my Power Ranger buddy. I think it's because when I was a kid, I used to BS a lot. And then as I just stopped, there was something that someone said to me close to me that was like, you know, I love a person that's true to their word. And I was always, I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, what am I so scared of being wrong for? You know, nobody had any power over me once I looked at it differently. It's kind of like when I kicked the caffeine thing. It's because I got it into my head that now something has more power over me. And I'm like, I ain't letting that fucking happen.
Right.
He's fucking bipolar. I guessed it. I'm fucking good. I bet it's something specific. It's something specific, but bipolar is in the realm of what it is probably.
But not only that, so I went from a per diem, which a per diem is a sub per day. So you know how like your teacher was out for like a day or whatever, like someone would come in and cover them. So I went from that to being what's called put in what's called a long-term subbing pool. So if there's any vacancies for an extended amount of time, I would go in and cover them. So technically when he was gone at the beginning of the year, last year when he was out, I was covering him the entire time he was out. So if he came back the last day of school, I would leave. He came back, but he left. So they had me there from day one until, actually I'm still there. So the way it was, they asked me first, they're like, so he is coming back. However, we don't want you to leave. It is your choice. And there are other schools that can take you. But you know, the principal wants you to stay here. We as a department want you to stay here. So I said, all right, I'll stick it out. I'll stay here. And I'll work with them, try to get him to ease back into it. And that was the end of September. And now it's like, he might be gone again now, which if he's gone, I'll just stay in place. The district has said, if there's another major vacancy somewhere, they will relocate me to that vacancy to cover it, which there are vacancies and they haven't moved me yet. So that's the other game. Like, am I leaving today? Am I not? But not only that, I have a connection now with the kids and the kids don't want me to leave either. And they're like, you know, what's going on? I'm like, I get just as much information as you guys do. I left
my physical therapy job to help out with, a rough situation, but to help out with animals that had lost their vocal cords.
Right. That's pretty cool. I mean, sad, but that's, you know, that's also, you know, neat that you've transitioned over to
hinting
that.
At Fauci, but okay.
Eagles.
He stripped the vocal cords so not to hear them scream. That's a sick fucking thing. I mean, it's logical, but it's sick. It's sick.
You know, it's my head, sick. It is sick. And my brain wasn't going there. I didn't want it to go there.
I watched the 5-minute video. You want to watch it here?
It's no, pretty I disgusting. Don't. I you want to watch
what
happens that.
What a beagle looks like without their fucking fur? It's fucking disgusting.
I don't.
It made me puke. I continued to watch it.
I don't need that. This is my first day off in about 2 months. need that.
We're going to wrap the show here in a minute anyway. I appreciate you giving me your time.
Are you already throwing me out?
We're almost talking for 2 hours. What the fuck do you want from me? I'm surprised you wanted to stay this long. You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
No, you know me. I don't mind coming on. You know, I'm sorry that it's been this long. It's just, again,
it's fun. I like
a lot going on my plate.
Our chats never have a direction of where they go, but they always go somewhere. Am I right? Do you put them on your resume yet? Do you tell your friends about me at all? Fucking better be bragging.
Whenever I come on here, I always make it a point to say it on my podcast, like, oh, you know, I'm really thankful to be back on Out of the Blank. You know, I enjoy being on there. If you haven't checked it out before, go ahead and check it out. So I promote you on my own podcast. So that's the other thing.
Do that. Just start handing out fucking business cards or get a tattoo of my name on your back or something. I don't know.
So our podcast has been doing really well lately.
In Estonia?
We're in the top 30. Like worldwide right now.
If you're checking good pods, I fucking really recommend you fucking not look at good pods.
Oh
yeah, because they modify their shit to keep you still using their app or whatever the hell it is. You know how many people I've seen with the number one position in indie pods, and I'm like, there's no fucking way. I've seen their analytics and I've seen mine. It does not match up.
I'm not surprised you're not on some chart somewhere.
Because good pods try to get me to. I had an issue with them where I called them out on Twitter. I tagged them saying I couldn't log in to claim my own fucking podcast. Someone else claimed it. And I guess it's from an email that I used. I tried to do it before and it got messed up. And then they're like, oh, come back on here. Try it again. No, I said, no, I'm done with this. It was a fucking hassle and a half trying to get contact from someone to fix that. And then I stopped using their thing. And that's all they do is they'll send you a message or they'll say this. If you share us, you tag us. They boost your fucking thing. They put it at the top. That's one person controlling the thing. It's not a justified system. It's one person shoving whoever gives them the most attention and gives them the most retweets to get up top. If you always constantly comment on their posts or tag them in something, they will put you up there.
Interesting.
It doesn't mean your show's not good. It's just...
I'm going to go cry now. Thanks, Brian.
Apple Podcast did the same shit. People wondered why when they first started their show, their first episodes were getting so many views in the matter. They're like, oh, maybe I should stick with this. Same thing with TikTok. TikTok automatically puts your first couple videos that you make on your profile, gives it a bunch of fucking attention. So it keeps you hooked into the app. So you're constantly keep producing and producing. And you wonder why your numbers sometimes drop off. It's because your first episodes, everything. I think it was... Oh my God. It's the Anthony and Cumio show. The guy who did that, who sold his giant, the godfather of podcasting, sold his show thing and started talking about all the aspects of how Apple is using your thing to profit and keep people hooked on for the views and the amount of time listened to it by using this type of method. By when you first start a show, when you first create something, pushing it and giving it fake number content or analytics views to spike up its popularity to keep you hooked onto it. And then you later, a year in, 2 years in, you wonder why your number might drop a little bit. You're like, people aren't listening to it like the first time I started the show. It's because you're hooked into the app now. All they wanted you was to keep making something so they can keep pushing a product, getting people to more view their content.
Right.
It's a trick. It's all a fucking trick.
We will cry now.
You have a good show. I've listened to a couple episodes, but
good. Have you listened to the newest one?
I have literally been off social media. That's why it took me so long to respond back to you. Like I've been off the device. I haven't even listened to Joe Rogan. That one I mentioned to you was from like a while ago.
Yeah. All right. I
need a mental break, bro. That's all I need.
No, I got it, dude.
Sadly, at this moment, everything on my mind is that fucking film. So,
no, I get it. You're good.
Okay. I'll listen to it after this episode. You guilted me now. I'll listen to it. So it'll be a pity listen. I hope you fucking appreciate it.
We have a guest on. It's a really cool one. It's about the Hungarian Revolution.
Did you
it's
talk not to Jesus. Jesus?
Damn it. I did not talk to Jesus. But no, I mean, so okay, I right. always...
That's a good idea for my film. I should get someone named Jesus on here. Even Jesus said it's a good...
All right.
Anything you want to say to people listening out there before we wrap it up?
If you're interested in hearing my voice, check me out on Operation History with my other co-hosts. We cover anything really historical. We're going on episode 16. The next episode is going to be the one I do.
Episode 16. Hell yeah, man. You're getting up to that 20.
Well, we only do once a month, and they're like an hour and a half long. So, I mean, again, like we've had a lot of positive support about what we're doing. So
a lot of episodes, 16 episodes.
Yeah, and each an hour, and we all do, yeah, I think, an That's hour working. And a half. Well, we all do an hour and a half to 2 hours of research on the topic as well, on top of me and two other hosts are currently in grad school right now as well. I work a full-time job. One of the other hosts works a full-time job. We all work part-time in one way or another. So, like, getting together is, like, not a pain.
I'm not being facetious. I'm being dead serious. Like, 16 episodes is a lot. I tell people, like, my buddy, I think he hit his 50 mark, and he's going up, and he's taking a break. I'm like, that's a lot of episodes. Whether it's one, whether it's 10, whether it's 1,000, it's a lot of fucking work that gets put into doing an episode, depending on what your show is, obviously. If you're doing a five-minute one, that's a little bit different. But if you're actually studying and researching into a topic and talking about it for an hour and a half and making sure you get proper, correct things on it, then that's a lot more work than I do in a lot of my shows.
But yours is also like a free flow conversation, which that takes, you know, energy to keep the dialogue going. So, I mean,
just be in the moment.
Yeah, you're right. But so if anyone wants to see that, Operation History, it's a good place to find me. Or you can at me at Historian Tibbs on Twitter. That's the only other place you can really find me. So that's about I'll
link it all in the description. Thanks for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. Stay tuned for next episode.